You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. I'm here with a few guests who will be talking to us about bycatch management. Could you introduce yourselves? Starting with you, Terry.
I'm Terry Haynes, a member of the Kodiak City Council and the Kodiak Fisheries Work Group.
Chris Lynch, I'm with on the Borough Assembly, and I'm the co-chair of the Fisheries Work Group.
And I'm John Whidden on the City Council and co-chair of the Fisheries Work Group from the city side.
Okay. And could you start with an introduction of why bycatch management is going to be important in the next few weeks and what's been happening with bycatch management recently in town?
Well, the bycatch management issue has actually been on the table for quite some time, several years. And from a historical perspective, we, the community, have been involved because the North Pacific Council enacted some restrictions, reduced the amount of bycatch that trawlers were allowed to catch, both for halibut and chinook. And as a consequence, the trawlers have had to change their fishing patterns. They've had to change how they the seasonality, some cases seasonality of their fishing. So it's having an impact on our fisheries and ability for them to fish. So in order to respond to what we believe will be increasing regulations, the trawlers have asked, and the North Pacific Council is looking for to create a program that will give them the tools that will allow them to more effectively fish their target species and also reduce the impact on the bycatch, which we as the community are certainly interested in. So the Fisheries Work Group has been monitoring this process. Initially, we started out over 4 years ago and created a list of 10 goals and objectives, because typically the city government doesn't get involved, the city and borough, don't get involved in fisheries issues for any number of reasons, because we have constituents on every side of the issue. And quite frankly, it's very difficult to weigh in on fisheries issues, especially when it comes down to allocation issues, who gets what, who keeps what, and for how long they keep it. So initially our intent was just to monitor the process. But as it's moved along, we found that there is a really distinct role for the community in this process, and that the community is a stakeholder. You know, we have infrastructure invested both in the electrical and the streets, water, and different other areas, docks and harbors that support the industry. So, and also just the recognition that the fishing industry is really the driving factor of our economy. It's why most of us are here in one way or another. So, from that perspective, the Fisheries Work Group has been engaged and has held a couple forums. I'll have Chris maybe mention the last forum where we actually brought people together to talk about these issues and really develop a community perspective on the issues and what's important to community members.
So the goal of the Fisheries Work Group has been to provide a united proposal presentation to the council of the community. A united, for lack of a better term, plan that we would like to see. And over the past 2 years, we've had, this was our third community forum, and we've had all gear types represented. We've had representation from the trawlers. We've had regulatory representation. We've had representation from the Fisheries Management Council in trying to come up with something that will look at a community perspective of this bycatch management plan. Now, during that time, there has been a new commissioner. So a new governor, when the new governor came in, he appointed a new commissioner. And that happened last October when we all were ready to react to a proposal that was supposed to be presented. That new commissioner, Sam Cotton, decided to put everything on hold and let's let him evaluate things for a little bit. And now we're looking in for the next council meeting in October to hear what he has to say. As preparation for a response, we had the most recent community forum, and this time it was like a 3-day event. We had two speakers, Dr. Mark Fina and Josh Stoll, both speak to us from a very academic standpoint as to all the different components and how they would academically affect our community. And then the next day we had a community forum where we had 12 representatives from the gear type processor community interests, all trying to put our heads together to make some commonality decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bycatch management or, you know, management of non-target species is a worldwide issue that really everyone's coming to grips with. And we see debates about how to do this all around the world. And some countries are really having a difficult time managing their bycatch in a way that doesn't really, really have adverse effects on the environment and on other fishermen. Because that's one thing to point out is that these prohibited species are valuable target species for other fishermen. You know, they're salmon and halibut, and we certainly have a lot of salmon and halibut fishermen who also have a vested interest in the reduction of bycatch that can't be retained by those whose target species is something else. So we've seen that Canada, for instance, has achieved significant bycatch reduction in programs that are they encourage fishermen to change the way that they fish in ways that they're still able to bring their full amount of fish to the dock, but without having the fishery closed down because they caught too many of their non-target species. And so what really the conversation that's going on at the council right now, and our North Pacific Council has looked upon worldwide as a leader in science-based progressive fisheries management. You know, the idea that you can manage fisheries in a way that will provide you with sustained abundance, you know, in forever. And, you know, I think a lot of fisheries around the world kind of look at their fisheries as, well, we're just going to hammer away at it as long as we can, and we're going to fish them until they're all gone, because that's been the historical precedent. But up here in the North Pacific Council has a different take on it, and this conversation that we're having right now is, how can we have these valuable trawl fisheries go on with full utilization, but yet use methods that can help them to not catch the fish that they're not catching, so that they're able to, the target fishermen can catch them, and the trawlers won't be shut down early, you know, from in the middle of their season.
And I think some of the components of the programs have been presented, and there's nothing that, as Chris mentioned, there's nothing on the table right now, because the original proposal was really pulled off the table by the state, so we don't know what the governor's commissioner is going to propose. But one of the outcomes I thought was really interesting from the forum we had the other day was maybe a different perspective from one of the trawl fishermen who really made the statement that that, you know, he's a fisherman first, and so many of these meetings, you know, we seem to hear polarizing viewpoints of you know, trawl is good, trawl is bad, community issues are more important, and, you know, the swing is pretty broad and it's somewhat contentious, and that's one of the reasons why city governments in general don't weigh in on these issues, because it's really hard to pick winners and losers on this, because if you pick a winner, there's also a loser. So from a governmental perspective, you really don't want to do that. But I thought one of the key takeaways I had from this forum was strictly the fact that and one of Paddy O'Donnell, who really made a good point. He said, you know, I started out, he's fished longline, he's fished crab, he's fished salmon, he's fished virtually every species, and he's tendered this year. And he says, I'm a fisherman first. And I thought it was really important to get that message out, that our fishermen, our Kodiak-based fishermen, comprise just a wide variety of gear types, individuals. Some are residents, some aren't residents. There's different boats, different gear types, different volumes of boats, different catch methods. But in general, everybody that goes out in the water is a fisherman. So I'm hoping that we can continue to carry that message from the community perspective, is that we're supporting fishermen in general. We're not targeting trawlers against trawlers or trawlers versus longliners. That's not the issue. And I think that's been a problem for so long in terms of talking about fisheries from Kodiak. And I think that somebody mentioned that one of the statements about Kodiak is, when you talk about fisheries, it's like stepping into a beehive. When I've also heard it described as, you know, Kodiak doesn't agree with himself. So we, in some ways, we've hurt ourselves by always having a very polarized viewpoint. But I'm hoping that the community as a whole, which includes the industry, the harvesters, the processors, can begin to realize that with a common voice on areas that we can reach common agreement, we have a much better chance to carry a consistent message to the council and achieve what we believe will be the results will help us achieve what is we stated in our 10 objectives is a healthy working waterfront. And that's how we would sum, I think, from a community perspective. We want to ensure that we have a healthy working waterfront, which means that we have a strong economy based on healthy fishermen, sustainable seafood, and then from a generational perspective, not just what can I get today, take from that fish stock today, and how much money can I make today. we want to look at it from a generational perspective as, you know, a fishing seafood economy that's going to be healthy for multiple generations to come.
So you just sent a bycatch management letter to the council signed by the city and the borough. So in making that letter and thinking about it, how did you make sure that you were representing all the different perspectives and roles within the fishing industry in Kodiak?
Well, first of all, we haven't sent the letter yet. It will be we'll review that at our Monday fisheries work group meeting. And we have had to stay engaged in this process, even though the council process has sort of stood still. There is a separate parallel process that's taking place called NEPA, which involves an environmental impact statement. Both bodies developed a letter in response to that environmental impact statement, and that's the letter that we'll be using to pass on to the council. Once again, we're using our 10 objectives from a community point of view and trying to hold fast to the most important thing is continue to have fish come across the dock, to have a healthy working waterfront.
Right, and we're kind of in a funny position right now because it looked like the council was already narrowing in on one alternative. But as Chris mentioned earlier, we had a new governor and a new commissioner of fish and game. Our new commissioner of fish and game wasn't convinced that the single alternative was the best way to go. And so we've been on hold until this next meeting in October, when we assume we're going to learn more. But at this point, the only thing that we can assume is that they have given what was on the table a great deal of scrutiny, and we may see additional alternatives. You know, I think it's unlikely, and here I'm just speculating personally, that we're going to see the alternative that was on the table pulled from the table. But we may see at least one additional alternative put on the table that then we're going to have to comment on there. And, you know, it's really been a difficult position for the community to be in, not knowing what to comment on. And as Chris said, what we were required to comment on earlier was the NEPA requirement that the comments come in on the proposal that was on the table before the commissioner put it on hold. So they had to have a comment period on that proposal because federal law required it, even though from a practical level they probably would have postponed it until we see if there's another alternative put on. The federal law required that comments come in at a certain time, so we had to comment on the former proposal. But I would probably say that that comment still is going to hold true because it basically holds certain principles and certain results that we're hoping for from the process that probably will still be valid no matter what alternatives on the table. But we really are in a position of not knowing what's going to come up here in October. And it's sort of like Christmas and that package is sitting under the tree, but we can't open it until this next council meeting. But I would say that, you know, with regard to the fish work group process, it's really, really novel idea that the community could come together and try to form consensus. And we've been carefully monitored by both state and federal officials at the highest levels. And all of them have told us that they are very happy with the work that we're doing. And, you know, I think the assumption might have been when we started that we were going to see a lot of contentious behavior, and it might even be impossible for us to have a reasonable discussion. But what we found is that when you bring people all together and sit around the same table, that reasonable discussion has been the norm. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we've learned from each other and what the different gear types have learned from one another just talking to each other around the same table has been very valuable. And, you know, just our ability to engage the process as a community, I think it's very true that we've always been seen as a kind of a hornet's nest. But we've never tried to do this before. And, you know, I think it's been an extremely successful enterprise so far. And I think there's no reason to think that we can't continue to have it be very useful. But the city and the borough, there was no way that they could really engage in the process meaningfully without doing a lot of homework. And, you know, and we've had to learn from everyone in industry. We've had to learn about the process and learn where we are in the process. And it's an ongoing thing, too. It's always a moving target. So it's kind of like being in a college class that just keeps on going forever, and you always have to do your homework. But, you know, I think having taken on that work, I sure have been proud to be able to participate mm-hmm. because everyone who has come so far has really brought their best intentions forward. And I think we've seen what Eleanor Ostrom, an economist, got won a Nobel Prize for her work talking about how to manage commonly held resources. And one of her conclusions was that if you brought people in around a big table, you could have a reasonable discussion, even though you had very different interests represented. But the important thing is to bring them all together so that you can have that discussion. And I think we've done that.
And we certainly saw that at the last forum, that you had people of competing interests and backgrounds, you know, sitting around a table for 3 hours, getting to understand just from a more personal perspective what individuals deal with. And the whole issue that's before us is how to manage this fishery better. So it's driven by the need to more effectively manage bycatch. And what we've seen historically in numerous fisheries, and it happened with halibut, and it certainly is happening with bottom fish, is that when the fishermen are forced to race out and catch as much fish as they can in a relatively short period of time, they're very, very inefficient. So in order to put efficiencies in the system, there has to be a way to slow down the fishing practices. And this accomplishes numerous things. It allows the boats to actually go out and target a cleaner fishery. It also allows the plants in town to better handle the fish when there's huge volumes coming in and the processors aren't able to handle the fish in a quality manner, so therefore they can't drive a better price. Having a more rationalized, if that's the correct term, it might be a touchstone term, but having a better managed system, I think, allows for both effective harvesting and ways to avoid bycatch, because what's currently going on in a mutually agreed cooperative structure amongst the trawlers is that they're fishing as directed by their particular processors when to go, so that they stay in a rotation. They communicate with each other out there, so if they run into a hotspot where there's a large volume of Chinook salmon, they'll stay away from it to try to stay under that cap. So they're fishing cooperatively, and that's working now. But for the long term, it's very difficult to maintain that, because it only takes one person to disagree to disrupt the entire process. And I think that's probably the rub, is that in a perfect world, I think we'd like to all shake hands and everybody to agree according to a mutually agreed fishing plan. But the reality is somebody can duck in from Seattle or duck in from Sandpoint or some other location and completely disrupt the process, and so therefore it's unsustainable. So we have to come up with a way that is consistently allows us consistently manage the fishery to the maximum benefit of the community.
Well, and it's the process that John is describing is totally voluntary right now. Mm-hmm. So there is some commending of the fishery that mm-hmm. should be done, because they are trying to fish clean, but like there is no retribution for anyone that decides to be a bad apple. The best thing about what we are doing as a community from a fisheries work group perspective is, like Terry said, people are watching us. Mm-hmm. This is cutting edge. We have people that attend our meetings from all over the state and other communities trying to build a similar relationship with their processors and fishermen. So we really, as a Kodiak Island Borough, City of Kodiak community, people are watching, and we're doing a good job right now trying to get everyone heard.
And, you know, setting a hard tack on our fisheries, which, you know, was kind of a new idea when they first started doing it. In other words, setting an allowable catch that when you reach that catch as a fleet, the whole fishery is shut down, had the unintended consequence of encouraging our fishermen to race against each other. You know, setting that hard tack was a great decision management-wise, and it's something that's allowed us to keep our fisheries healthy. But unintended consequence, everyone's racing now. And I think we found that catch share systems or some type of different system that gives everyone the ability to fish when they want to has the ability to really improve our management, bring a better product to the dock, you know, improve so many sides of the fishery, but we've seen unintended consequences on the economic and social side. So, I mean, I think what we're trying to do right now is to craft a program that looks forward at the unintended consequences, and you make the program from the outset in a way that minimizes those unintended consequences, which for a catch share system tend to be more social and economic than fisheries management.
At the meeting with the two academics that was last week, I think, mm-hmm. They talked about simplifying the process, and at the same time, the process, the bycatch management process, is so complicated. Do you think advising the different councils and people involved to simplify their process is a realistic ambition? Is it possible to approach this in a simplistic way?
I was interested to hear Dr. Fina state that. I think in general that's a great objective. But if I were to go to the council and just say, I want you to simplify it without telling them or giving them some idea of what I mean by that, I think I would just be wasting their time and my time. So I think the best move for us as a community is to, as Terry said, understand that any change that's made to this economic model, which is how the fishery is currently managed, any change to that economic model is going to have social consequences. And so trying to stay ahead of those social consequences is really important. And those are issues that we really haven't reached common agreement on, is the ownership issues, the duration of ownership, how cooperatives should be structured. Those are still on the table to be discussed. So the reality is it's not a simple issue, and I think Josh Stahl stated that. He actually disagreed with Dr. Fina about that, is that I think you want to keep it as simple as possible. But the reality is there's so many players, so many stakeholders, there's so many moving parts. I think it's very difficult to keep it simple, but it's certainly, I think, a worthy objective.
And can we briefly backtrack and touch on what different points you made in the bycatch management letter? What objectives you put up? Well,
you're putting us on the spot here.
Don't we don't have a letter? Well, the most recent letter that was written was in response, as both Chris and Terry said, to the NEPA request for an environmental impact statement based on the existing trawl motion, knowing full well that there's more than likely going to be a change to that motion in about another 2 weeks. So we're really just fulfilling a requirement. But what we did in that letter that Heather McCarty, our fisheries analyst, helped us draft, was really restate our positions and restated letters and actually referred to letters that we've dealt with in the past. And it talked about our goals towards consolidation, our goals towards bycatch management, the fact we still preferred to see, I believe it was continued analysis of alternatives 1 and 2, and also the fact that we wanted to have the community provision still reviewed. So we just, in essence, that letter just restated everything we've said before. And without having the letter in front of me, I couldn't tell you the specific wording on it.
And you mentioned in the letter, I think, about community, a community effort. Could you talk more about that? I don't remember what it's called, a community group of fisheries?
A community fishing association?
That, yes.
Well, it's one of a lot of ideas out there. And, you know, we're sort of in a catch-22 position. It's a common place to be with fisheries management. You're sort of trying to guess the direction they might be going, and at the same time, you're tasked with bringing workable ideas to the table. And the Community Fishery Association is just one of many ideas that would help to bring the community in a more meaningful way into the management process. And, you know, it's something that's been worked on around the country and around the world, most especially by folks in Morro Bay on the Pacific side. And we see some guys over in Cape Cod that have been trying to bring quota banks and that kind of stuff to give the community, you know, more of a stake in the fishery. But it's just one of a lot of ideas. You know, it's been kind of tough to go to the council as a community. You know, the community has different takeaways, really, than the individual industry player. And I really do think it's unfair to task someone who's a fisherman with keeping the community in mind all the time when he's addressing the council process. He has enough on his mind just keeping his own business in mind as he's addressing the council process. And, you know, it's always been difficult to come there from a community perspective, but I certainly think we've come a long way. You know, every single taxpayer is a stakeholder in our community because we take everyone's sales tax and we spend it on our really significant, robust infrastructure like docks. Our water system is almost 1 billion gallons of water. Much of that is used for processing fish with fresh, clear water. And, you know, the KEA, a lot of the power needs are ones that are generated by the fishing industry. You know, the whole web of infrastructure that every taxpayer has a stake in is mostly keyed toward our one major industry, which is fishing. And I think the average taxpayer has a reasonable expectation that they will continue to have something like a robust economy or something like what we have now as far as their expectation to have their kids have a job, to be able to conduct their business, you know, in a way that a new fisheries management regime does not throw into the toilet. And so it's been very difficult, of course, to approach and address this. But I think we have people from the communities and different groups, and the CFA is one of those ideas who have brought forward, you know, usable ideas to the council, and hopefully, you know, they'll look at everything when they go through. We know that they're kind of taking a step back and taking another look at what might be done, and this next doc meeting in October is a probably good time for everyone who has an idea about what might be done to go to this meeting or to provide comment. And you can do that, go to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council website. It's really easy to provide comment now, and they can show you exactly how to do it.
Okay, well, I think we have about two more minutes. Do we have a last comment we want to leave the listeners with?
Stay involved.
Stay involved, and go to that website that Terry just mentioned. So thank you. You've been listening to Talk the Rock. Thanks, you guys, for coming in to speak to us, and thank you, listeners, for listening.